baptism of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. That's our text. Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the second Sunday in Advent. Does it look any different in here? The tree's up, the wreath's up, the candles are lit, the place is aglow. But this second Sunday in Advent is really all about John the Baptist, because this is his Sunday. Every year, same time, same place, John's message is the same, preparing the way for the Lord. But now we have John the Baptist. What's the first thing you think of John the Baptist? Now, as Lutherans, you're probably thinking, it's like, why is he called a Baptist? He should be a Lutheran. That's beside the point. What do you think about him? You heard the definition. He was clothed in camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist. Not the kind of clothes that are real comfy, if you will. But that idea of camel's hair is the idea that, as a camel drinks water and stores it in its body for the trip to the wilderness, through the baptism that John gives in that water, that new life has sprung forth in you to sustain you through the wilderness of life. It's a pretty great picture. But then you have that new kind of diet that, and believe you me, they're free-range locusts, and they're organic, and they're crunchy. Take one of those buggers and dip them in some honey and you got yourself a meal. That's John the Baptist. Is that what you think of him? Or maybe you think of John's sermons, because he went full bore head on. He held no punches at all. The fact of the matter is that John was not about mincing words or sugarcoating stuff. He would call out sinners for who they are and for what they had done. So, as soon as John the Baptist would open his mouth, you knew exactly where he stood. You knew exactly what he believed, and you also knew exactly what you should do. But if all you see in John is kind of some funny clothes and some rather organic food, and only his sermons, you kind of miss one of the greatest gifts that John the Baptist gives. And that's the gift of baptism. See, the matter of fact, he's called John the Baptist or John the Baptizer, and he loved to baptize. In fact, his arms must have got tired, because he literally wanted to baptize everyone. He wanted them to repent and to come to the knowledge of truth of who Christ is. John, you see, had this incredible gift from God, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and he wanted everyone, literally everyone, to have it. That's why he did what he did. That's why John preached the way that he did. Remember what he called the Pharisees who came out to see him? And his words were, "Who told you to flee from the coming wrath?" And then he went out of his way to call them a brood of vipers. Oh, that's a term of endearment. You brood of vipers. You are so unrepentant. And when King Herod threw him in prison, John still wouldn't shut up about Herod. He continued to call him to repentance, to turn from his sinful ways, and to have life in Christ's name. But the reality was, John really wanted Herod to have the gift of repentance and the gift of holy baptism. He wanted literally everyone to have it. And John was wildly popular too because of it. In fact, we read in St. Mark that all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem was going out to him. And when I was at the seminary, our professor was kind of an expert on the book of Mark. And he was talking about the idea that the Judea and Jerusalem was all going out to him. And so my friend, who's kind of a smart acre anyway, he drew a picture of buildings with legs. All of Jerusalem was going out to John. And he was literally in the middle of nowhere. And people were going out of their way to be near him. To hear that their sins, they were coming out in oodles. They delighted to hear his word because they knew they needed it. See, he was more than just this weird-dressed guy with this fiery voice and this command to repent and to be baptized. He was a man that literally bore the gifts of God, a gift of forgiveness, a gift of life and salvation. And all these people that came to see him, they knew they needed it in the same way that you and I do. See, they had the law written upon their heart. They had God's word exposed to them in the Ten Commandments. They knew what was right and wrong in the same way that we do. And for all the times when we go out of our way to break God's commandments, and you get those feelings of guilt or shame or sorrow, and you want to go and try to fix it, it's the same way they felt in those days. And John teaches us the depth and the breadth of our sin and our genuine need for forgiveness. But you see, knowing that you're a sinner is quite different than knowing what to do about it. What do you do about your sin? There are some avenues that people take, even within the Christian church. We have the avenue that will say, I'm going to try to fix it myself. I'll just go to the Christian bookstore and I'll buy a book on how to be a better Christian, and I'm going to try harder, I'm going to work hard, I'm going to try to do better, I'm going to try to do good works, and I'm really going to do my best to get to church. But I can fix it myself, Pastor. I don't need your help. Then others may say, well, I'll just deny it. I'll just deny the fact that I'm a sinner, and it makes me feel better when I point at everyone else that him, chief of sinners though I be, Pastor, they're all twice as bad as me. And so therefore, I'll just deny it, it'll go away. But dear friends, have you ever tried that to fix your own sin? You ever tried to make amends for the things that you've done? It's impossible. It's kind of like the little Dutch boy at the dike, and the hole springs out, and what does he do? He sticks his finger in it. And then another one pops open. See, he sticks his finger in that. And another one pops open. He hopes his pinky can get in that one. And before too long, the dam breaks anyway, because the sin, our sin, just overwhelms us. If you ever got to the point where you just want to deny it, it's kind of like asking the IRS for an extension on your taxes. You can ask for extension, but what ultimately happens? The bill comes due. Sin has to be paid for, even if we try to deny that we owe for it. But here's what John really wanted you to know. Let God deal with it. The sin that you and I have in our thoughts, words, and deeds, the things that we do that we shouldn't, and the things that we don't do that we should, and all of our sins of thought, word, and deed, and commission and omission, and all those definitions that we have, John just says, let God deal with it. But it's kind of like being a felon and walking before the judge and confessing my sins and expecting grace and mercy, and you kind of shudder as the gavels begin to fall. It's not very comforting to say, well, I have all this sin, but what can God do about it, Pastor? Can He forgive me? Have I gone too far? Have I done too much? For here, John reports about the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Here's what God does with your sins. Are you ready? Forgives them. He forgives your sins. That's the solution that works no matter who you are. And it doesn't matter what you have done. He does the same thing. He forgives you. But what you cannot do and what you could never do, God is coming to do for you. That's what Advent is all about. It's remembrance that God had made a promise. He promised the very first sinners, Adam and Eve, that He was going to put enmity between the serpent and between the woman, and the crushing in the head and the bruising of the heel. The promise of Messiah. And decades passed and no Messiah had come. And then John comes on the scene to prepare the way, to flatten the hills and to raise the valleys, to make straight the paths of our God. And John says of this one, the one coming after me, the one you're going to see just in a little bit, he's mightier than I'm not even worthy to even touch the man's sandals, let alone do anything to tie down and do that. I baptize you with water, but the one after me, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so John came then and comes now, not just to convince you of your sins, but to point you to the one that can do something about it. Reminding us in these days before Christmas that the baby born in the manger in Bethlehem came to be our Savior. The one born in Bethlehem would ultimately be crucified for our sins, for all the stupid stuff that we do. He suffers and dies in our place that we may stand before Him forgiven. He wants you to be where He is. See, that's what filled John with so much joy. I can imagine John, as many pastors feel as you baptize a little one, it's joy. It's sheer joy to pour the water and to say the words and to know that God's promise is connected to that little child or that grown up and they've been ushered into the kingdom of God. It fills you with joy. But it wasn't only John. He was just one in a long line of pointers to Christ. You know, Isaiah said, "Comfort, comfort, my people," says your God. Isaiah, the prophet from the Old Testament, wanted the nation of Israel to know that there's comfort in our God. A God who created the heavens and the earth is the same God that would send His own Son into the world, wrapping Him in human flesh for you, for all that you've done and not done. For all of your sins, He will crucify His own Son. See, this is why God had sent prophets before. And then John. John reminded us that our warfare is over. Our iniquity is pardoned. He's a herald of good news. He wants to remind you of all that God has done. It's not a matter of trying to fix yourself or denying sin. Just simply give it to Him. Because He's a shepherd who loves His flock, He tends His flock like a shepherd, and He will gather the lambs into His arms and carry them in His bosom and gently, gently lead those who are with young. See, that's the voice of this Advent season. It's the voice of Christ that we should hear. So we also heard in Peter today that this idea of the promised Messiah would return. And many in the world today say, "You Christians are just loco." Because the reality is it's been over 2,000 years and I don't see Him yet. And I see the world that we're living in is getting worse and worse and worse. And where's this Jesus that you talk about? Where's this promise that He said He'd return and usher His people home to be with Him? I don't see it happening yet. Maybe the question we should ask is, why the wait? Why is Jesus waiting? In His Word, it says that He wants all people to be saved and comes to the knowledge of the truth. Maybe it's out of grace and mercy for those that don't yet know Him. Maybe that's why He's waiting. Maybe the time hasn't come because He desperately wants more to hear that Word. To know the message that you know, that you are a part of the family of God, and that through faith in Jesus, literally all of your sins are forgiven. But then we read in Peter that we're supposed to be without spot or blemish and at peace. Today, can you honestly say that you are without spot or blemish? In faith in Christ, you better be nodding your head like a bobblehead doll. Yes, I do, Pastor. Because Jesus has made me clean. I am without blemish. I am at peace. But maybe you're not. How do we do that? How do we get to the place where we can say, Pastor, I am without spot and I don't have a blemish on me and I'm truly at peace by simply remembering that you are baptized? Has the water been poured upon you? Has the words been spoken? Then hear the promise of God. Those that believe and are baptized will be what? Will be saved. Another thing we are to do is, as those that went out from Judea and all of Jerusalem to hear John preaching in the wilderness, is to acknowledge our sin and repent too. See, half of the battle is confession. To confess that I was wrong, confess my sin. It's so hard. It's so hard as Christians to acknowledge and say the words, "I was wrong." But as we stand before our Heavenly Father, we have absolutely no basis to stand on our own. We simply confess, "Lord, I am a poor, miserable sinner before You, to receive Your grace and mercy." And I'm talking about repenting of those big whopper sins of your life. And you know what they are. And those little white lie sins that you think that bug no one. And those sins that you've done that you think you've got away with, that no one else knows about. All of those sins, to lift them up to Him and say, "Lord, stir up in my heart. Stir up in my heart, O Lord, repentance, that I may serve You with a pure mind and a forgiven mind and a spotless mind, now and even forevermore." What is it about this season that makes it so joyful? Probably one of the things we love the most is the gifts. There's no gifts under this tree. I see that as a problem. God gives gifts. He has given gifts to you. Oh, sure, this morning they're not wrapped in some fancy wrapping and bow. It's simply under the form of bread and wine. He has given a gift to you to receive for the forgiveness of all of your sins, and more so to strengthen your faith as you make your way through this valley, this shadow of death. God has given you the gift and the water of your baptism, washing you and ushering you into His family. He's given you the gift as you experienced early in the service, as you confessed your sins and as your pastor announced in Jesus' stead, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're gone. Forgiven. Well, dear friends, we still live in the wilderness, don't we? That's the place that you and I know best. And the good news during this Advent season that Jesus came into our wilderness of sin to comfort us, to forgive us, and to prepare for us an eternal home that will never pass away. I guess this morning the best thing I can tell you is that John brought you a tremendous gift in the water of holy baptism. You are clean. You are forgiven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.